You can be turning to 1 Corinthians. Is it on? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. This thing don't work anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. I need a piece of double-sided tape, so I need. For I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I am resolved today to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've got to lift Him up. We're in the season of getting ready for Passover, and there's nothing greater that any of us can talk about than the fact that the Creator of the universe died for His creation to redeem us from bodies of death. He took the beatings that give us the healing, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and His body was rent in two so that we could have access to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't talk about it a whole lot because, as Kelly pointed out last week, there's a progression to the holy days. So we try to give you spiritual food in due season. That is, we try to talk about things as they fall in that outline. Y'all didn't get that. The holy days lay out an outline. The Passover is the time to talk about the sacrifice of Christ. The Passover and the preparation is the time to talk about the fact that every one of us is guilty of Messiah's death. If you never learn anything from me at any time, at any place, you got to learn this, that it was not the Jews that crucified Christ. It was not the Romans that nailed Him to the cross. Every single human being that's ever drawn breath must take personal responsibility for the death of Yeshua Messiah. Because you know what? He wouldn't have had to die if we didn't sin. He wouldn't have had to die if we didn't like to tell stories. He wouldn't have had to die if we didn't like to take things that don't belong to us. He wouldn't have had to die if we didn't have filthy communication coming out of our mouth. He wouldn't have had to die if we kept the Sabbath. He wouldn't have had to die if we didn't eat things that don't belong in our body. But because we like to sin, and we like to mistreat each other, and we like to hate people without a cause, and kill other folks, and steal, and cheat on our spouses, He had to die. It's our sin. And we have to come to accept our culpability in His death. Because it's only in our acceptance. Y'all got to get this now. It's only in our acceptance of our culpability in His death that gives us a sacrifice. Oh, y'all don't read them chapters, do you? I caught it another last week when Kelly was talking about sacrifice, and it just went, whoo, right over everybody's head. Whoo! We like to skip those chapters. We're going to read through the Torah 20 times, but when we get to Leviticus chapter 1, we like to just kind of skip on down to chapter 9. But you missed the most important part. So let's go to Leviticus. Let's go to early Leviticus. Let's get up in those verses we don't like to read. You know, the other one I like to skip over is the genealogy verses. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat... Oh, come on, man, come on. We're down at the end of the story. I don't... Now, occasionally, when you want to figure out something in prophecy, you're glad they got that record in there. But outside of that, what good is it for us? Because, you see, love it or hate it, we're all in it together. Love it or hate it, we're all in it together. We're at the end of the story already. I want to talk about the sin offering. The sin offering. Chapter 4. I don't want... Okay. Start in verse 22. No, 27. I'm sorry. If a member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, he is guilty. Now, let's get honest here. We're in church, right? How many times was it really unintentional? Oh, I'm preaching now. Ain't nobody shouting. How many times was it really? Come on, let's just get real. We're in church and it's almost Passover. How many times when we sinned, was it really unintentional? Come on, let's get honest. We all thought about it. What did Jesus say? Sin starts in the heart with the wrong attitude. Then it goes to the brain with wrong thoughts, and we meditate on them things. Come on now. Sometimes we nurse them, and we live them, and we tend them better than we do our own family members, loving them little thoughts that's so bad and wicked. And then it comes out to, we sin. It ain't unintentional. We're guilty. See, these are places where you got to write your name in there. Bill Schultz. Hey, my sin list is real, y'all. Now, look, I say that, I want you to get the wrong idea. I mean, I ain't out doing some of the things all these other folks are doing. But I'm not a sinless person. You know why? You can know that. Because I'm still in a body of flesh. I'm still in a body of mud. Now, when I get turned into a spirit being, then you'll go, hey, Schultz is sinless. Man, he made it. He made it across. But I'm on this side. I'm hanging with y'all. When he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his sin offering a female goat without defect. And he is to lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it in the place of the burnt offering. You've got to lay your hand on the animal and you've got to confess over it in front of the priest everything that you did. You didn't hear that. We like to burn our sin offerings in private, and we're not going to stop doing that, praise God. Somebody better be praising. But you know what? Back in the day, you had to bring your offering, and you had to confess your sin in front of the priest. Now just imagine, come on, let's get real. Just imagine this is your fourth trip up there. How about the stuff been on the list every year for a couple, 3 years? And you got to come up and say the same thing. And you know what the guy's thinking. You still doing that? Come on, he's human. He didn't stop being human because he's up there taking your blood. But let me show you, point out something to you about this passage. Nothing happens on the part of the priest until you kill the offering. The priest don't kill the offering. See, that was the problem in the later days. They'd just bring the goat up there to the gate and they'd take it all off and take care of it for you. See, God doesn't want you to get out of your culpability in nothing. He wants you to understand. Why? God saw it all. He's omnipresent. Does he really need you walking up to the altar and confessing what you did? No, he don't need that. You need that. I need that. We're the ones that need that because we're the ones that don't want to fess it up that we're sinners. Come on, somebody. We're the ones that don't want to fess up to our culpability in the death of the only God. We're the ones that don't want to fess up that it was our hands that drove the nails in him. It was our hands that held the whip that beat his flesh off his back. It was our hands that pulled the rope and hoisted that cross up. It was us who put the spear in his side. We're the ones that did that. Every time we want to do something that we're not supposed to do. You see, all of this is taking place in real time, folks. Jesus inhabits eternity. So when he's getting beaten there in that Roman courtyard, guess what? He's taking them for the stuff you're doing right now. He's taking them for the stuff you're going to do this upcoming week. Every time you sin, bam, Yeshua takes a lash. That ought to hold us back a little bit, you think? You know, dwelling on that and letting that get down from the 18 inches from your head to your heart, that ought to pull your hands back and make you not want to do some of them things we like to do. Knowing that what I'm doing, he's going to take another hit. The priest did not do anything until after you fessed up your sin and you killed the animal. We have all got to understand our culpability in the death of Yeshua. We stand, and at this point of history, on the brink of the greatest turmoil that's ever happened. Do you not see it starting? Are you missing the news this last 2 weeks? They're burning Egypt to the ground! All of Africa's on fire from Morocco to the Sinai Peninsula. You know they were rioting in Syria yesterday, right? They never riot in Syria, the harshest dictator in the Middle East.
They're rioting in Turkey. They're rioting in Yemen. The whole Arab world is about to be engulfed in flame until they have a caliphate called the King of the South that's going to push the King of the North. And where do you think the King of the South last was? It was in Egypt. And courtesy of the United States taxpayer, that's us, Egypt has the largest, best trained, best financed, best equipped army in the whole Arab world. And the Muslim Brotherhood's already told the army, the day we take control, we're declaring war on Israel. Get ready to go into battle. Here we are. And our president is backing the Muslims. So I prophesied, y'all. That's why you got to study prophecy. Israel makes a peace treaty with the European Union for 7 years. Why would they make a peace treaty if the United States is guaranteeing them peace? They won't. He makes a peace treaty with the European Union because we're not guaranteeing it. We got to be right with Jesus. We can't fix all that out there. We got to be right on a personal, one-on-one basis. Because you know what? Ain't nobody else getting you out of here. You're either close to the Lord or you ain't. You either right with him or you're not. You're either going in to rescue or you're left behind. And when you're left behind, out of this bunch, you're going to be sitting there going, what did I do, man? Because I was taught and I was told and I was in the presence. Come on, somebody. How many people in this room have actually felt Jesus touch them bodily? Stand up. Come on. Look around. Look around at all the people who have actually felt the Lord Jesus touch them bodily. There's five of us in here. That's a lot of folks in a group this small. We of all people have got to be close to Yeshua. It starts right here. It starts right here. Repentance, culpability. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Now to whom is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Yeshua Messiah according to the revelation of the mysteries hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writing by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. What is this mystery of God's will? This mystery of God's will is supposed to be open. And of all people on planet earth, it should be open to you. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation, this rescue is ready to be revealed in the last time. This Greek word salvation that's used here is translated rescue 3 times. Probably ought to be translated rescue 5 or 6 times. But I'm going to show you what at the end. Who lives? You live in this last time, and the mystery of God's will will not only be made known, but it's going to be accomplished in the sight of all men. These are the days of all days to proclaim the death of the Yeshua, of Yeshua Messiah, to pay for the sins of mankind. Who killed Messiah? We all did. We all did. If you want to sacrifice, you got to accept your culpability and the death of the sacrifice, or you don't have one. I read you that from Leviticus. And I could have thought it in Leviticus chapter 8 or 9, but he talked about the bull. You see, the whole thing is, you had to take that animal and you had to eat part of that animal. To say that your culpability, the only sin offering that was not eaten was when the blood was taken in behind the banner. That is going to be carried outside the camp and burned.
kind of Passovers. We got to have the kind of Pentecost. We got to have the kind of Feast of Tabernacles that God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ are eager to want to come down into our realm and share with us. Why? Why would they want to do that? Because our praise, our love, our worship, our adoration is flawless. And I'll tell you one other reason. If you go back and you look this up in the law, it gives you rules for human cleanliness. And it says you follow these because God walks in the camp. If you want God to walk in the camp, you got to live by the rules for holiness. If you don't, He's not coming. He tells you if you don't follow those rules, He'll burn you up if He does show up. If you want Yahweh God in the house, you got to follow the rules for human holiness. It's just that simple. People say, that's Old Testament. I don't really care, old, new, whatever. That's the protocol of heaven. And if you want to enter the protocol of heaven, and you want to enter into heaven, and you want to have the spiritual experiences, you got to follow the protocol of heaven. I don't just want to be ghost bumpy and have a little thrill chill and go home. I want to have presence. I like being physically touched by Jesus Christ. I've had experiences with Christ that would blow most people's minds. I've had Him hug me and walk through me. That'll mess your life up for a few days. You'll love it. It's more addictive than crack cocaine because you'll always be looking for it again. Come on, man. You'll always be looking for that again. You see, that's what we're after. We're not after clappy happy. We're not after a little ghost bump chill. We're not after a little nice prayer and a shout. We're after the God encounter of a lifetime that will transform you into somebody you didn't know you could be. James chapter 4. This is when I talk about expectancy for the holy days, this is what I'm talking about. Okay? Do you expect a real touch from God at Passover? Jesus will know by how well you prepare. Come on. Jesus will know by how well you prepare. I'm not turning there, but Exodus chapter 19 says to wash with water, consecrate yourselves, and don't have any relations, husbands and wives, for 3 days before He shows up at Pentecost. I'm just saying, how much of a God encounter do you want? How well are you willing to walk in holiness to get it? James chapter 4, verse 8. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. We have to come to grips with our sin. And coming to grips with our sin in this way will also give you power to overcome your sins. Because when you come to grips with your sin this way and you go to do it again the next time, there's going to be this real, ugh, you know, I just can't do it this time. Come on, y'all. We go through all that. We all, folks. You're gonna come to places where you would normally do something you know God doesn't like, and it's just going to be harder and harder until finally I just can't resist Him that much to just resist the devil. He'll flee from you. 1 John. We got to get rid of it. Now, a lot of folks have a lot of definitions of sin. Some people think that dancing is sin. Some people think drinking is sin. Okay, if you get drunk, it's a sin. What about if you have a little communion wine? Is that sin? No. What if you have your 2 cups of Shabbat wine? Is that sin? No. Now, it will diminish how much of the Holy Ghost you're going to have in the next 20 minutes. Okay, I mean, let's just be real. I typically don't even have Shabbat wine because I forget, because I don't want to have any Shabbat wine until after we worship, because I don't want to diminish my power in the Holy Ghost, okay? Okay, I mean, I just don't, right? Who wants to diminish your time in the Lord, amen? Everything people call sin is not sin. The only things that are sin are what God defines in the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Have you thought about that? How great is the love of God that He's called you His children? He's working with you to make you His very own children. The seed of the Word and the Holy Spirit are both called the sperma of the Father to make you the literal children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Did the world accept Him? Was He recognized? He's its creator. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be like Him? No, none of us are ready yet, because we're not fully in this Word deep and strong enough. Because you see, to be like Him, that Word has to be fixed in our thinker. Because we have to administer. This is the mind of Christ. It starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation. This is the mind of Christ. Is it your mind? Have you loaded this software in your hard drive? This is the software that's got to be loaded in your hard drive. Straight. No preconceived notions, just straight. In. How great it would be if it came on a floppy disk and we had a little port right here and we could just, come on. But it ain't going to work that way. You got eyes, and that's how you load it in, with your eyes, and with the hearing of your ears in the messages, and with your eyes. That's how we load it in. This is what we got to load in. This is the whole Word of God. Everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. Do you have the hope of being a child of God? Because when you really get a hold of that hope, then you're going to want to be pure. What is pure? That's pure. All of it from Genesis to Maps. This is pure. When we think like this, we live like this, we love like this, that's pure. We worship like this, we walk in holiness like this, that's pure. That's pure. Everyone who sins breaks the Torah. In fact, sin is Torahlessness. That's what that says right there. That's what that says in that verse. That word law is the Greek word for the law of Moses. Everyone who breaks the Torah sins. And sin is anomia. The word anomia means contrary to Torah. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. John wrote it, but there it is. John, the longest living apostle, the one that was close to Jesus, the one who was leaning on his breast, the one whom Jesus told secrets. Hallelujah. He's telling you right there, Jewish man, sin is Torahlessness. So everywhere we transgress Torah, we got to conform our life to be pure. We have to conform our life to be pure because this is our basis in God. This is how we're going to have increasing God counters. This is the message of what Jesus Christ's sacrifice should do for us. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. He lived a perfectly Torahless life. He wants to live a perfectly Torahless life in your flesh if you'll let Him. But we get in the way, don't we? Oh, no, Lord, let me handle this one. I got this one right here. And we go do some wild sin. Well, the whole time the Lord is saying, hey, yo, just settle down. Boy, I'll take care of it. It's going to be okay. Let me walk it out. Come on. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. But we keep having that sin list, right? You know what that means? That means every year it should be getting better. Year, Passover to Passover, atonement to atonement, that sin list ought to be getting smaller. We ought to not be doing the same things continuously. That doesn't mean you're going to wipe them all out in the first run because some of them are hard. Some of them are rooted deep down inside your nature. And it's going to take you years to root them out, cutting them back till you finally get to the core of it. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. So people that keep running around lying all the time, are stealing all the time, are cheating on their spouse all the time. They don't know Him. They haven't seen Him. Because let me tell you, when you see Him, it puts a brake on a lot of your activity. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. No longer seeking to please ourselves, but seeking to please the Lord. Does it mean you're going to have every sin conquered in one day? But that's why we keep repeating it year after year after year after year after year after year. You know, it's difficult when we have parents and children who are both saved. Because it's hard for everybody to sort out the issues between being a parent and being a brother, and between being a child and being a brother. We have to sort those issues out. They're difficult. And every one of us that has children is going to come to that place where our children hopefully get saved and accept the Lord Jesus, and then we've got to sort those issues out. Where's the line to be drawn between being a dad, being a mom, and being a brother or a sister in Christ? It adds a great deal of complication to the issue. But you know what? These are also great times to get on our face together as families and confess our sins one to another and to make that sin list and to get right. You know, the problem comes in is when your family like that, you don't want to forgive. You don't want to forgive. And kids especially have a hard time forgiving parents. You got to forgive your parents. You don't have any choice. If you don't, you get a root of bitterness. I don't have to name any names for you to see a Class A example in your brain right now. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus, but through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? I sin, therefore I die. I sin, therefore I die. I sin, therefore I die. And the law of the Spirit of life sets me free because I can confess my sins to Jesus and receive forgiveness. So I sin, I bring death, I repent, I go back to life. I sin, I bring death, I repent, I go back to life. I sin and I bring death, I repent, and I come back over to life. This is the cycle of a believer's life. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened because I'm a sinner. See, the law is not powerless. The law is strong. Matter of fact, it's very strong. It's so strong, in fact, that if you break it, you will die. Period. You break it, you will be under the curse. You break it, and your prosperity and your blessing and your progeny. Toast. Toast. Why is it weak? We're weak. The law's not weak. We're weak. We're made of mud. We were made to be weak. Come on, you didn't get that. You were made of mud. Is mud strong? No, it's wet. It's pliable like Play-Doh. You can just do all kinds of stuff. It's mud. And you were made that way so that you could repent. You didn't get that. The angels sinned, but they're not made of mud and they're not weak. And when they sin, that's it. Game over. You lose no repentance. You are done. You get repentance. Why do you think the angels long to look into this stuff? The third of them that sinned are gone. The two-thirds of them that are loyal are looking at us like, what's up with these? Come on. Come on. We get repentance. We get repentance. It's the mystery of God for Him to give you access to be in His family as His children, that you can sin and repent and get forgiven. Christ crucified. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. He sent Him in a body of mud so that He could die and be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in us. If we'll condemn the sin in us by confessing it. Remember, you get no offering till you confess your sin and you kill the animal. Your culpability in His death is right there. If you want to condemn the sin in your life, you've got to confess your culpability in the death of Mashiach to pay for it. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit's what gives you repentance. The Spirit's what gives you repentance. Before you ever received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit was working with you to bring you to repentance and to convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit never makes you feel guilty. It always moves you to conviction. I sinned, therefore I must repent. The way to get rid of the guilt is to repent, because the devil's bringing condemnation and guilt to discourage you from repenting. Oh, what's the use? I'm going to burn in hell anyway. The whole point of the devil is to get you to give up, and the whole point of the Holy Ghost is to get you to repent and to accept the sacrifice, so that the righteous requirements of the law will be fully met in you. Because when Jesus' life is applied to your life, He fully met every righteous requirement of every law. And when you get it, you get the whole packet. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What does the Spirit desire? It desires to live in peace and harmony with God under His law. Watch, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. There's defined for you a second time that the hostile mind, the sinful mind, cannot submit to God's law. So anytime someone says to you, I don't have to keep that law, ding, 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 there they are, sinful mind, hostile to God. Nowhere to run and hide. Ding, 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 ding. They are hostile to God. God's Spirit is not governing that individual. That includes a lot of Christians. Ooh. That thins the ranks of the righteous down pretty hard, don't it? That's good preaching. Ain't nobody shouting. Those controlled by the Spirit, the sinful nature, cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because you sinned, yet your spirit will be alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not according to the sinful nature to live according to it that's hostile to God's law. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You see, we use that Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the body, and we have to do it under duress. We have to do it under duress. We have to be willing to obey God even when the circumstances are against us. We have to be willing to do what God says even when everything is stacked up telling us that's the wrong way to go. Because that's when the character of the living God is being formed in us. Even though it hurts, even though it costs us, even though the world is telling us it's wrong, if we'll do what is right according to this word. For you did not receive... Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by it we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we share in His suffering, so that we may also share in His glory. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 3. This is where people get confused. Why is the law powerless? We sinned. We sinned. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? There are people who do not want the full baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're trying to attain their effort of living by this Torah by their own human effort. We can't attain it by our own human effort. We've got to want the full baptism of the Holy Ghost so that it's the power of Jesus living in us that conforms us to His law, not our own personal flesh. There's a difference between trying to be a nice person and live a nice life and stepping back and fully surrendering to Jesus Christ. We've got to be the ones who fully surrender to Jesus Christ, because that's where the power of God is going to be walking in our life. Have you suffered so much for nothing if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believe what was heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I want you to understand this, because this is very important here. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. What are you relying on the law for? Your right standing with God. You cannot earn your salvation. Living by the law is not something you do to earn your salvation. Living by the law is not something that you do to earn your right standing with God. Living by the law is something you do to show Jesus Christ your gratitude that He died for you on the cross. That is important. It may seem like a technical distinction, but it's not. It is the whole crux of understanding how to live a Torah observant life. If you're doing it to show God how good you are, you lost already. Because it says, every person who relies... Now let's read it. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You got a sin list. You got a sin list. Cursed is every person who does not continue to do everything that is written in the law. We stand by faith in Jesus Christ. How do I say that when I'm the heavy law preacher? It's very simple. You have to have faith in your sacrifice that was made by Yeshua Messiah to cover your transgressions of Torah, or you're under a curse and there ain't no way to get it off. There is no way any of us that our law keeping is going to get us in the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen. We have to be totally dedicated to living in faith that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and paid for our sins. It is because of that we keep the law. The law is not based on, clearly no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And He was hung on a tree. He became the curse. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus did not die the death that is appointed unto man once to die. He died the second death, the eternal death, in which there's no rescue. That's where He got resurrected from. He died to pay your full penalty, not just every man is going to give it up. The rules for living are summed up with love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the other rules tell you how to do that. All the rules in the Torah tell you how to love God or how to love your neighbor. We follow them because we have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. Literally, the world out there tells you you've got to prove your faith in Jesus Christ by disobeying Him to His face. Now, how far do you think that's going to get when He comes back with a face shining like the sun and eyes flaming like fire and a sword that cuts down all the armies of the three major powers in the Valley of Armageddon? We live it not to earn our salvation. We live it to show our gratitude and to demonstrate our love. What did He tell us? Go sin no more, right? The rules for the penalties of sin include animal sacrifice, ritual washings, and anointings. The rules for the penalties of sin have been waived for the present time because we have to believe in the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah to pay for all these things. They will be reinstated when Jesus sits on the throne, but for now we have to trust Him for all of them. In the old, you were stoned for breaking the Sabbath. How many of us have broken it? Yet we live. We have sin list, right? Are we dead? Did we die for the sins? Most of the stuff on our sin list would have required stoning in ancient times so that the wickedness would be driven out of the camp. And yet, we confess them, and we see the blood, and we receive the forgiveness. Come on, somebody. I ain't the only one that saw the blood every time we burned that sin list. And we receive the forgiveness, and we're allowed another chance, and we receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost during the Holy Days, and we get another chance to go out there and try to show Christ our gratitude. But we blow it again, right? Praise God, we live in the age of grace. Praise God, we live in the age of grace where we can have faith in the sacrifice that Yeshua Messiah made on our behalf so that we can receive mercy in our time of need. But here's the problem. Not for us, but for those outside, they're using mercy as a license to sin. See, that's why we live by the law. Mercy's not a license to transgress Torah. Mercy is a hope that we will purify ourselves to be like Him. See, it seems technical at first, but it's not technical. You see, because we want that mercy to purify ourselves because we want to be like He is, because we have that hope and we're washing our robes in the blood of the Lamb by continually repenting for sins. Other people are saying it's not a sin anymore and I'll do it if I want to because once saved, always saved. But like I said in the Greek, they're finding out now that that's not what it says. Repentance is a lifestyle. Now I want to end up in Hebrew here. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. Which ones are we talking about? Goats and bulls. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. You couldn't clean the ark of God the Father in the heavens with the blood of bulls. Y'all realize that's where the original sin took place, right? Satan rebelled against God the Father right in front of His face at the mercy seat and was cast from heaven. You can't purify that ark with the blood of bulls. You can't atone for that sin with the blood of goats. Jesus had to atone for all creation. Things we see on earth and the things that were created in the heavenlies. And the only blood that would do that is the Father's blood. You realize you get your blood from your father, right? You realize you get your blood from your father, right? Jesus did not get His blood from Mary. You'll get that in a minute. It took the Father's blood through His Son, Yeshua Messiah, born in a body of mud, to be able to purify the heavenly temple furniture and to make atonement for Satan's sin. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not His own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now He has appeared once for all at the end of ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for Him. That word salvation is a mistranslation. That word means rescue. He is now to appear a second time to bring the rescue for those who have the hope of being born a child of God and who will purify themselves according to Torah, not to earn salvation, but to show their gratitude and their honor. So you see, you honor Yeshua by changing your life to conform to the Father's will. You do not honor His sacrifice by conforming to the devil. I read that to you out of 1 John 3. If you live like the sons of the devil, then you're demonstrating to God that you do not have the seed of God in your heart, the sperma of God to make you His child. You're showing that you are children of the devil. Isn't that what Jesus told the Pharisees? Now I want to close in Revelation 5. Something the Lord showed me in the worship and I forgot about it. verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will rule on the earth." And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and praise." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever." And then the living creature said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and they worshiped. Praise and honor and glory to our God who formed us in our mother's womb like he molds clay, who gave us life and breath and spirit, and who died on a cross, the most cruel and wicked of all deaths, to pay for our sins. And by his body being torn to pieces by that spear, he opened the way for us to receive the Holy Spirit, the sperm of the Father, that we could be the literal children of God, and who lives in us through that spirit to bring us into his glorious kingdom. Great Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up. Be glorified, be magnified in this house today through the crucifixion of your Son, your only Son, Yeshua Messiah. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. I'm asking right now, Father, that you confirm this word through signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and the minds of every person who hears this message, Lord. That you will be praised forever as you are worthy of, and that your Son, Yeshua Messiah, will be praised by every human being who has ever lived, for even the opportunity to have this sacrifice applied to their lives. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.